know, there would be times in the past where people would look at Bachman Turner Overdrive as the real pride of Winnipeg, Manitoba, but I think those times have come and gone because our next guest, Jesse Pollock, you know him from Bar Down. Is he ever making a name for himself in sports media? He's all over. He is fighting lacrosse goalies on TSN. He's at the Bombers game, at the Winnipeg Jets game last night. And let's welcome him into the show, our good buddy, Jesse Pollock from Bar Down. How you feeling this morning, my friend?
Hey, boys, I got to be honest. I'm feeling pretty darn good after yesterday's games. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man. It's great to hear from you, man. And run us through the gamut of experiences for you yesterday. You were at the Bombers game. They're back in the Grey Cup. We know you're a huge Bombers fan. We know you're a huge Jets fan. And beating the Leafs, I imagine, was a little bit more satisfying than any other team on the schedule.
So the day starts off. Go to the Bombers game, and what do I see? I see someone wearing a Riders jersey over a Leafs jersey. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be an interesting day. So yeah, went to the Bomber game, and it was just a great, great experience. It was so much fun. Got to watch from the press box, which was really cool. And you know, I gotta tip my hat off to the fans who were at the game yesterday, because what happened was, when you went to the game, you had to take a shuttle afterwards. If you were going to the Jets game after, there were buses. And I couldn't even do anything on my phone after the Bomber game, because it was so cold in Winnipeg last night.
Really?
And maybe I've just, you know, when you haven't experienced Winnipeg cold in so long, it really is such a shock. Because yesterday wasn't even considered that cold of a night by Winnipeg standards. It was
-25.
Minus 25 yesterday.
Hey, we've had it twice as bad here.
No wonder you moved to Toronto.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you can take the boy out of the West, but you can't take the West out of the boy. So I toughed it out, and it was really just an incredible, incredible day. The football game was amazing. I thought, you know, it started off pretty weird for the Bombers, at least. Turned the ball over, I think, five times in the first half, which was uncharacteristic. It was very strange. But managed to battle back. I think Winnipeg is clearly the better team. And just, you know, hats off to the Riders. They played a hard game yesterday, but really excited for next week. And then, I mean, the hockey game was just crazy last night. So it was just such a fun day, and it was you know, turned out pretty well for us Winnipeg fans.
So people here probably should know that you're just a Winnipeg diehard super fan, and I thought that's no shot at you, that's just, you know, that's just who you are and who you're proud to be. But could you imagine a better day for yourself yesterday, where you're at a CFL playoff game that had impact for them to go to the Grey Cup, which they ended up winning, and then you go and watch the Jets and Leafs, you know, the Leafs playing like one of the best teams in the leagues, the Jets offense igniting on Friday night, knowing that it was going to find a way to carry that over in yesterday's Blake Wheeler's 1,000th game celebration. I mean, so much to like about the game. What was it like for you emotionally, like being part of both of that and having the results go your way yesterday?
It was honestly amazing, because, I mean, I only get to come home so often, and I'm usually just running around a lot of places, doing stuff for work, seeing family. But yesterday, just got to kind of just watch the games, and it was amazing. And both of the games were so entertaining from start to finish. And it was really, you know, I was in the press box for the Jets game, wearing a Jets jersey. I must be the first person in history to have done that. And I was
You're a real journalist, Jesse. You're a real journalist.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Very sophisticated. I was, and you know, I was like cheering from up top too, because you're not actually allowed to film from up in the press box. So I came down to the concourse area in between periods and tried to get what I could. But, I actually banged the table at one point after Mark Scheifele scored the sixth goal. So it was honestly you couldn't have drawn up a better day. And as much as I'd say, like, oh, the weather could have been better, I wouldn't even have wanted it to have been any different, because it was just such a true Winnipeg day yesterday. So it was awesome. And I was, you know, for that Riders fan who was wearing both of those jerseys with the Leafs jersey, couldn't feel less sorry for the guy.
Yeah, no kidding. Jesse Pollock is our guest. You know him from Bar Down. He had probably his best day of his life yesterday,
yes,
since his bar mitzvah
100%.
Many years ago. And let's talk about
Bar Down Mitzvah.
Wow, I like that one. That's a beautiful one. So let's talk about what happened with Neil Pionk. Oh, wow. You even got that type of sound effect from our man 20 Fingers. He must be a big fan of yours, Jesse. Let's talk about Neil Pionk's neon knee on Rasmus Sandin. You know, we've been talking about it. Very well could be some supplemental discipline for Mr. Pionk. What was your view on it as you were there in person?
Yeah, you know, you hate to see that stuff, even for teams that you dislike as much as the Leafs. It obviously was not an ideal play. We'll have to see how the league decides to handle it. You know, I don't blame Wayne Simmonds obviously too for wanting to fight, and I completely understand Leafs fans' frustration. I understand the Leafs players' frustrations, but I don't think Neil Pionk is a dirty player or a malicious guy. I think, you know, he just made a poor decision on that one, and you hate to see it because, you know, Sandin. So watching Sandin last night, like, this guy's a hell of a player. I mean, I don't know. Like, it was clearly not a clean
hit.
Five games, Jesse.
He deserves to be suspended. You got to call a spade. Come on.
It wasn't a clean hit, but I'm not gonna say that the Leafs are just innocent either. I mean, Stretcher just goes right back for Pionk and goes high for him. And I understand the
he went low for him, not high.
Oh, sorry, low, but like high up on his body. If you take a look at the hit, it was like pretty close.
We talked about it this morning, saying that we wouldn't be surprised if Spezza gets some sort of supplemental discipline as well.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think the refs have a duty to, and I know Simmonds later got 10 minutes. You know, the refs have a duty to kind of like calm things down a little and make sure that things don't get too out of hand. But yeah, you hate to see what happened to Sandin. It sucks. And again, like, I don't think that's necessarily in Pionk's nature to do those kind of plays, but like, people make decisions on the ice, people make mistakes, and we'll have to see how the league handles it. But again, like, you know, Leafs fans, And I understand why they're upset, but there was so much salt on Twitter last night criticizing the Jets and Pionk, and I get it, but, like, I don't know. These things unfortunately happen in the game sometimes. It really sucks, and you hate to see it. But I understand the frustration from Spezza, but I didn't like the response either. Like, that could have been really dangerous as well. So, yeah, I mean, there could be some serious discipline handed out, and yeah, things were very hostile in the building last night.
In conversation with Jesse Pollock, you know him from Bar Down. And Jesse, after the game, there were cameras in the Jets locker room, and the boys were fired up. And why don't we take a listen to everything that transpired. First, you'll hear Logan Stanley, and then you'll hear Mark Scheifele. Go ahead, 20 Pickers.
Hey, boys, is there anything better than beating the Leafs? Hey? No. Anything better? Just going for this guy.
The Johnny Drama homage we really appreciate here on this show, Jesse. What is it about beating the Leafs that is so special for the Winnipeg Jets? You hung out with Scheifele and Dubois, a bunch of the boys, this weekend too. So just fill us in about just why this rivalry, if you want to call it, is so meaningful to Winnipeg.
First of all, there were so many damn Leafs jerseys in the crowd last night. It made me sick looking around and seeing all the blue and white. And, you know, hey, good for you, Leafs fans, but there's no way that your fans should be louder in an away barn than your own barn. Because let me tell you, I've been to Leafs games, and they seem to be a hell of a lot louder last night in Winnipeg than they ever are in Toronto. It was crazy. There were chants going on after goals were scored. You know, after the Leafs scored their first goal, If the Jets had played a goal horn, I would have thought that the Jets scored. Like, it was unbelievable. So there were so many fans in the stands last night, and that stems back hockey fans need to understand, this stems back to before the Jets came. The Leafs are the closest thing to Winnipeg. So there are tons of people in Winnipeg who grew up Leafs fans, and they just didn't switch to Jets fans because, you know, their heart has been with the Leafs their whole lives. And, you know, obviously being from Winnipeg too, you watch hockey on Saturday nights. Who's playing on Saturday nights all the time? It's the Leafs. So for all those fans who stuck with the Leafs, they still exist in Winnipeg. They're annoying as could be. And even being in Toronto, Leafs, I'm telling you, like, I cannot, obviously have so many fans who cheer for the Leafs, but as a fan base, I cannot stand Leafs fans. They're so salty. Personally, as a Jets fan, I get chirped by them all the time. You know, on social media, I get chirped all the time. I honestly think that they're not even my least favorite fans. Habs fans bother me even more, if I'm being honest with you. But I respect Leafs fans, too. They love their team. And you can't harp on a fan base for caring about their team as much as the Leafs do. So it's all in fun. Toronto's close to Winnipeg, so it makes sense for good rivalry. I wish we were in the same conference or the same division because I feel like the Jets haven't really found a true rival yet. You know, it should be Minnesota. It's developing with Minnesota. It's not quite there yet. Nashville, you could argue, because obviously our playoff history with them, we had probably our craziest series against them, or one of them. But I think the Leafs are probably our biggest rival, and this stems back to Matthews and Laine, and it's too bad that we're not even in the same conference or division or anything, but Leafs fans just bother me so much. And not all of them, obviously. I have some close friends who are Leafs fans who I work with specifically, and I know you fellas like the Leafs, but oh my goodness, there's just everything about the Leafs. Everyone loves them so much. You get so much, just like, screw them.
Right. Well, Jesse, leading into the weekend, you had some dinner dates or lunch dates with a couple of the Winnipeg players. Which dinner or lunch date was the most romantic for you?
Well, so I actually only ate with one of the players. I ended up meeting up with, or I did some work with Scheifele and Ehlers and PLD and Pierre-Luc Dubois. And they're all just great guys. Really, really great guys. So for Dubois, we have a feature coming out about it. I took my four favorite burgers in Winnipeg because there are some great, great burger places in Winnipeg. Just want to, for all you Toronto listeners out there, just in case you're in Winnipeg. So we got VJ's, Red Top, Salisbury House, and a place called Dairy Whip. We just tried each burger, and we just reviewed them together, and it was a lot of fun. And they're all really great guys. Like, Mark Scheifele is a really, really nice guy, and it was very well, you know, gave his time to us, and he was awesome. Nikolai Ehlers, just a huge beauty. He just such a normal dude, like, very cool. He took some time to chat with us as well for a while, even after we shot with him, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is that guy's just my boy. Like, he's a massive beauty and just a lot of fun. That guy's always smiling. And one thing I think we should talk about as well from the game last night was what happened with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it kind of got lost in all of last night's events. But, I mean, have we, like, ever seen that with any player, especially of Pierre-Luc Dubois' skill level, do that to Austin Matthews? Like, this guy was drafted two spots behind him. And I just love what Pierre-Luc Dubois has brought to Winnipeg. I mean, this is a guy who is insanely skilled. And he also has – this guy's chirping the whole game. He's got a – he's tough. And I just think that to see someone do that to Austin Matthews, I understand why Leafs fans are upset with him. And Austin Matthews didn't really do anything there. But as a Jets fan, I just love seeing one of our skilled players getting in Matthews' face, dragging him around and just saying, like, I don't care who you are. You're not coming into our barn and doing anything. So even though Matthews absolutely said,
yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the kind of toughness that you need, and I think that that's the kind of toughness that you'll need going into the playoffs. I think all of your players should be aligned like that. Like, he can kind of play a bit of a role of a villain, and I think Winnipeg needs that. And it was awesome to see.
Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time. Listen, today was a victory lap for you. You know, everything's going great for the Winnipeg Nation, and you probably haven't stopped smiling in, you know, last 12 hours. Understandably so, but keep in mind, when the Leafs beat the Jets the next time they play, we'll be calling you up, and I imagine this interview will go a lot differently.
Well, yes, I will actually be at the next game on March 31st in Toronto for, you know, doing some work with Special Olympics, with Special Olympics Canada. So I'm really looking forward to being at that game. And let me tell you, it is going to be ugly if the Leafs win that game. And in the concourse that building, I am going to just get it.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. But, thanks for doing this as always, Jesse. You're the man, buddy. We look forward to seeing you in person very soon.
Fellas, thanks for having me. Always great to hear your voices. You're both beauties, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
You're such a squid.
Jesse. He's not a squid. He's the man. That guy is crushing it. And I don't know if you saw the video of him playing, like, he was playing goal in lacrosse against some of the Toronto Rock players. If you haven't seen that one, he's a content machine. Jesse Pollock and everybody at Bar Down doing great stuff for TSN. And speaking of doing great stuff for TSN, Dave Naylor was on location yesterday at BMO Field reporting on the Argos and the Ticats game. We'll get to the action on the field, but everything that happened off the field after the game may very well become the bigger story as this day progresses. That's next on First Up. 'Cause I got friends in low places where the First Up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. It was a wild weekend in the Canadian Football League, and it all began on Friday morning after a report from our next guest, and you could probably take a guess as to who that is based on the music that we played. So McLeod Bethel-Thompson, the quarterback for the Argos, it was deemed he would be ineligible to play in the East Final after violating COVID protocols. He went to a Toronto Raptors game. The CFL ultimately decided to bend its own rules. He was able to play in the game, not particularly well. The Argos lose to the Hamilton Ticats, but it was what happened after the game that may very well become the story of the weekend, and it's not good if you're a member of the Toronto Argonauts. Let's welcome in our football insider, Dave Naylor. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, AK? Already busy week, got busier.
No kidding. So if you somehow didn't see the video, there was an alleged spitting incident. A fan of the Ticats, again, allegedly spat on a member of the Toronto Argonauts. And there are videos that have emerged from fans, a number of the Argos kind of storming the concourse to confront this fan. Punches were thrown. These are players in full football gear with helmets on. How do you think Randy Ambrosi and the Canadian Football League are going to handle this situation today, Dave?
Well, I think there's going to be from and look, not just Randy Ambrosi, you know, the Argonauts and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, right, which is, you know, obviously a very image conscious company as well. The image of fans and players fighting, I almost laugh as I say it, it's almost comical, you know, is certainly not anything anybody wants to see. And look, you know, the Argonauts have trouble getting attention in this market. And like the last 2 days it's been, or last 3 or 4 days it's been, you know, for almost walking their quarterback into a full protocol violation that forced them to miss a game, and then some of their players fighting with fans. So, you know, that's not, you know, those are two of the biggest exposures that the Argonauts have had this season, and, you know, neither of them are favorable. But let me walk fans through this, how this could have happened. And I'll say could have happened because I haven't got all the details in all this, okay? But on the east side of BMO Field, there is an area where the Argonauts walk to their locker room through the fan, through the stands, basically. Like, they basically come out the corner of the field and they walk under the stands, and there's some, you know, kind of ropes that separate the fans and the players, but it's meant to be intimate. You can tell, like, the idea is kind of cool. Like, if you have a 10-year-old, you can walk up to that area to the rope, and the Argonauts players will file by you. These gigantic players in full football equipment walk right by you. You know, they'll make eye contact with you. You know, there's a lot of kind of, you know, smiling and cheering when they come out on the field. It's a really cool element of the experience of BMO. However, it's probably one that if you have large numbers of opposing fans who yes. have been consuming beers since kickoff or since the parking lot.
6 a.m.
By the fourth quarter, when those players, at the end of the fourth quarter, when those players walk off the field between those ropes, look, if the BC Lions are in town, I'm sure it's not an issue. But when the Ticats are in town for a playoff game, I can certainly see how allowing fans to have that proximity to Argonaut players could result in one of them doing something stupid, Then you have the players who, of course, just lost the playoff game, not in the best of moods, getting spit on by with beer or whatever. Voila, that's why you have. And again, this is what I'm walking through, what could have happened and what I think likely did happen, given the physical setup at BMO Field.
Well, it's a shame that we're not discussing what happened on the field, unfortunately, for the Argos losing and not a good second half from their offense in particular. But you talk about what happened, and it's a jarring image to see a football player wearing a helmet going and swinging at fans. I mean, it's and I understand the fan was going at him too, but this guy's wearing a helmet, and it really sucks for the Toronto Argonauts that perhaps the two biggest stories of their season, number one, almost an attempted self-sabotage of their quarterback, bringing him to an Argos game that violated COVID protocols, and then their players on the concourse after the game in what could have very well become Malice in the Palace 2.0. Fortunately for the Argos, it didn't become that. But, I mean, clearly there have to be some kind of alterations. And you mentioned it. I mean, it's a unique situation with Hamilton in town and a playoff game and a lot of drinking and everything involved. But I think MLSC is going to have to alter the way that they have this walkout for their players going forward. Would you agree with that?
I would certainly think there's going to be some amendment here. And it's too bad, right? This is the oldest story in the world. A few ruin it for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Like when the Argos can't do this next season, we'll all know why. Now, maybe they can still do it when they walk out onto the field, because hopefully, you know, nobody's gunned enough by 12:45 for a 1 o'clock game that, you know, there's going to be an incident. Certainly you can understand how the after effect is going to be much more, you know, potentially volatile because of the drinking of the fans during the course of the game and the mood of the players when they're walking off. Players are generally, after a loss, are in a lot more hostile moods than they are when they're walking onto the field to begin a game. So it is too bad we're talking about this. I think there, you know, this is a horrible look, and it is going to bring back people, you know, the image of sort of Malice in the Palace. It didn't get to that, fortunately. No. But, you know, again, I don't know what the security detail was for the end of the game last night. I wouldn't think it was huge. Like for a CFL game, you know, traditionally the Argonauts, these kind of things, their crowds are not big and rowdy enough to cause problems. But you know, once you get players, you know, in an area where that is, for fans, you know, there's no limit on the number of fans that could have joined that. So yeah, this one would be under the headline of could have been worse, I would say, even though it's pretty bad.
I did not really enjoy my time there down at BMO Field yesterday. The Ticats fans, and I'm not accustomed to this. I've gone to, I don't know, 30, 40 Argos games down at BMO Field. I've been to many, many games. I've never experienced anything like that. It was not necessarily the most pleasant experience for me. I kind of was uncomfortable at many times with some of the drunkenness that was going on. And I mean, I guess what happened at the end of the game kind of really put everything into perspective, everything that happened down at BMO Field. We should talk about what happened on the field. Not a great performance from the Argos. They could not convert their opportunities offensively, a lot of field goals, and Hamilton was really able to capitalize on that. Dane Evans had an outstanding second half in relief of Jeremiah Masoli. What do you make of Hamilton's chances, Dave, in the Grey Cup against Winnipeg, a team that has been the best in the CFL in spite of a up-and-down performance yesterday afternoon against the Saskatchewan Roughriders?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can look at Winnipeg's performance. You know, they had an up-and-down performance, and they won by four. The other one is they turned the ball over six times and still won. How dominant do you have to be on downs if you turned it over six times and you still won the game? And my odds of Winnipeg turning it over six times next week, not very good. You know, it was a frozen day out there in Winnipeg, and the ball was cold and hard, and the Bombers dropped it a lot. But, look, AK, as you know, you are in the prognostication business. I am not. But I did have my preseason pick, Grey Cup rematch. And I know that's always the easy thing to say in sports. Well, I picked the same teams that were in it last year. But I actually walked through myself down that and made sure I really was making a pick that wasn't just a lazy pick. And I picked the Bombers to win. I think the Bombers were the best team all year. They were the best team at the start of the season. I think they're the best team at the end of the season. All that said, I think we're going to get a game. And the Dane Evans thing is kind of fascinating, right? I mean, he completed 11 passes since September the 10th when he got hurt and lost the starting job and didn't get it back. You know, he completed 16 from early in the second quarter on yesterday. I mean, he was phenomenal. He makes the play to strip the ball at the end of the half after there was a fumble that prevented the Argos from getting three extra points. I mean, it was impressive performance by him and the Ticats, who for the second week in a row came out flat, got kind of dominated in the first quarter. And then, as you know, Orlando Steinauer, their coach, teaches them, the only thing you can predict and guarantee in a football game is there's going to be adversity. That lesson came in handy 2 weeks in a row. I expect a good game, but I'll be surprised if the Bombers aren't repeat Grey Cup champions.
Yeah, Winnipeg, at least as of this moment, a 4.5-point favorite in the Grey Cup. A number that is pretty short, if you ask me. I think Winnipeg will be very successful against Hamilton, although I thought Hamilton was going to beat Winnipeg as a 4.5-point favorite in the 2019 Grey Cup. It's funny, and we're going to work under the assumption that Dane Evans is going to quarterback Hamilton in the Grey Cup, right? It won't be Masoli?
Well, it was asked last night, you know, and it's funny. Steinauer likes, I think, busting our buddy Shinetti there a little bit. And he kind of looked, when Shinetti asked the question, you know, who's your starting quarterback next week? And Steinauer looked at him and goes, really? Can you wait a couple of days till you ask me that? Or something like that. Or ask me that in a couple of days. Like, and as you know, coaches, while they are digesting a huge game like yesterday, hate getting questions about the next game. It's like they need to process. They need a night's sleep. They need to watch some film. They need to do those. But all that said, I fully expect it'll be Dane Evans.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just before we move on to the NFL, Dave, we talked about the news leading into the weekend. It was the CFL trying to promote the big games this weekend. The Argos making the mistake and letting McLeod Bethel Thompson go to the game. It gets publicized. The next thing you know, they got to deal with COVID protocols, and it looked like McLeod Bethel Thompson was still in quarantine yesterday with the way that he played. But do you still think the CFL came out winners out of all this? Because out of all the controversy that transpired leading up to the weekend, you got the best case scenario in the Grey Cup, where you got the home team, Hamilton Tiger Cats, representing himself against the best team in the league.
Yeah, I think this actually, in the end, didn't work out horribly for the CFL. Look, they were never going to make everybody happy on the decision they made with McLeod Bethel Thompson. And as I understand it, and look, the league didn't do a great job of explaining this as it was unfolding either, which is why there was a lot of different, shall we say, interpretations of what happened. But this is what I understand happened, that essentially when a player breaks COVID protocol, it's not like, you know, hitting a guy in the head where you go to the wheel of suspension and you say, okay, hitting a guy in the head is a game or three games or whatever the heck you're being. It wasn't punishment that was being doled out to the players for going to the Raptor game. It was a protocol to keep everybody safe. So the league isn't thinking of it as punishment as much as they're thinking of it as, okay, these guys broke protocol. We go to our medical team and we say to our doctors, Dr. McCormick and Dr. Nadeau, who are the same guys who developed the protocol for the league, the same guys who developed the protocol for the National Hockey League, and you say, what do? This is the circumstance. So they take in everything into consideration. Are the players involved vaccinated? Yes. Were they at an event where everybody was vaccinated? Yes. Is there a high vaccination rate in the league? Yes. All those things were true. And that's how they came up with a 48-hour quarantine to keep them safe. Even though earlier in the year, when a player did a similar thing, his was 96 hours. So I get it was a medical opinion that determined this. The commissioner could have overruled and said, hey, well, we gave four before, we got to give four now. But again, this isn't suspension. This is medical protocol. So I understand what they did. Ultimately, I think the best result came out. McLeod Bethel Thompson got to play in the game. The Ticats earned their way into the Grey Cup by beating the Argo team that they should have beat, not guys that were healthy sitting on their couches because of a protocol violation. And the Ticats into the Grey Cup. You know, it's going to be a hometown Grey Cup, first one since 2013. And I think you get a great football matchup. So in what was a kind of chaotic weekend for the Canadian Football League, at least in terms of where we're going with the football in the field and the matchups we got, Carlo, I agree with you. I think it worked out pretty well.
Dave, it's going to be a fun week in Hamilton. I'm sure you will be, you know, celebrating and, of course, preparing some fantastic reports for the CFL on TSN. I also understand that Carlo's coming over to your house today.
What do you got cooking for lunch?
Do you have a spread prepared for him or what?
He is. Well, we got the caterers coming in about an hour.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. Soup and sandwiches?
Exactly. We'll have it all taken care of. Just bring your Bell Media credit card, Carlo.
Wait a minute. They hand those out? How do I get one of those?
Not anymore, man. Let me tell you. Dave and I know very well about the old school days, especially at radio. We used to have a time.
I tell you what, if you've got one of those extra TSN jackets, I'll be happy to take one of those.
Ooh, that
of
is a
meal.
Good question. We did talk about that earlier, Dave. So the TSN jackets that like Duffy was wearing, you wear,
yep.
Are those like available for Carlo and I? What do you think the likelihood is of that of happening is?
If you guys can find a way to get yourself on to the Grey Cup broadcast somehow, that seems to be the ticket to those coats.
Hmm. What do you think? Any suggestions? Maybe what could Carlo and I do over the next 6 days to get on the Grey Cup broadcast?
Yeah, exactly.
Inside information. Carlo's wife was a Ticats cheerleader.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good lead. That's a pretty good lead, okay? You can combine something with, like, cheerleaders and prop masters. Maybe you guys
yes.
can get on.
Oh, there you go. Prop masters. There you go.
All right. I mean, yeah, well, cheerleaders.
You guys provide
prop
some
masters.
Serious quality CFL content? Come on.
All right, we're going to work on that. We're going to brainstorm some ideas. Well, take care of my man Coco, Dave, and we look forward to watching and listening to you all week live from Hamilton with the CFL on TSN. Thanks,
right.
my man.
So Carlo's got to be all in on the Ticats because with his wife being a cheerleader alumnus, right?
Of course, man. My in-laws are from Hamilton. Like, it's all Oski Wee Wee.
Oski Wee Wee, man. All right.
That's right,
stuff.
Buddy.
Yes. All right. See you, Dave.
Bye.
All right. That is our man, Dave Naylor, who will be hosting Carlo this afternoon. Very excited for you. For the
yes,
stories
excited
tomorrow morning.
To see the nail gun.
Go through all of Naylor's like closets and stuff. See what's cooking in there. See what you can find. Because, you know, he's got a lot of TSN jackets that we need to get our hands on. We're going to send some emails out after the show. Can we get TSN jackets by Monday morning?
Yes.
Find out next. Here first up. I think you're probably right, Chrissy. We're going to try, though. First up continues. We'll wrap things up next. Golf Talk Canada on the way next. I'm sure Tiger Woods will be brought up over the course of those 2 hours. I can guarantee that, in fact, after we saw a lot of video of him swinging, an interview with David Faraday and Steve Sands. So Tiger seems to be on the path to return. When that is remains to be determined. Some breaking news in the hockey world. Alain Vigneault reportedly been fired by the Philadelphia Flyers. We were talking about that with Dregs earlier, Coco. I mean, Philly's really struggling, but he's got a lot of money and a lot of term left
three
on his deal.
3 years left at $5 million a year.
Chewing up money. But clearly, the Flyers are a team that view themselves as a playoff contender at the very minimum with that roster they have. Keep in mind, Claude Giroux is a free agent at the end of the season. He's been with that organization forever. The captain and one of the best players in the last 25 years of the Philadelphia Flyers. So that is a very fascinating situation. We will be all over that tomorrow morning. And certainly Al's brother and Julia and Overdrive and I guess Kaz on his way back from South Africa, apparently. So that's great to hear that he'll be back in Toronto very shortly. Look forward to hearing him back on the air and sharing some of his experiences over the last couple of weeks dealing with a very uncomfortable situation over there. That's it for us. Thanks to 20 Fingers. Thanks to Arad. Thanks to our intern, Luca. For myself, Aaron Karolnik, and Carlo Koliakovo, we end with Coco.
Bang! Go Billies!